AT&T connects an ode to podcast. Connect the alarm, change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze, 10 more minutes to dream. Connect the shower, lather up with the news, sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work and traffic so slow. Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories, change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
Oh, hi, I'm Rachel Zoe, and my podcast Climbing in Heels is back and better than ever. You might know me from the Rachel Zoe Project, or perhaps from my work as a celebrity stylist. And guess what? I'm still just as obsessed with all things fashion, beauty, and business. Climbing in Heels is all about celebrating the stories of extraordinary women, and this season is here to bring you a weekly dose of glamour, inspiration, and fun. Listen to Climbing in Heels every Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Across Generations, where the voices of Black women unite. I'm your host, Tiffany Cross. Tiffany Cross. Join me and be a part of sisterhood, friendship, wisdom, and laughter. We gather a seasoned elder, myself as the middle generation, and a vibrant young soul for engaging intergenerational conversations. Prepare to engage or hear perspectives that literally no one else has had. Listen to Across Generations podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Parents, if you've ever experienced bedtime battles with the kids, I'm going to let you into a little secret. The Koala Moon podcast has revolutionized over 20 million bedtimes, with parents like you calling it life-changing and the perfect nighttime routine. With original kids' bedtime stories and cozy sleep meditations, every episode has been specially designed to make bedtimes a dream. Listen to Koala Moon on the iHeartRadio app, on Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Discover a new educational and interactive podcast, Stories for Kids by Lingo Kids. Our episodes are packed with fun activities. Right, Elliot?
Oh, yes! We went shape hunting around the block, and we found spheres and cubes on the street.
That was great fun. Join Stories for Kids, the Lingo Kids podcast, inspiring you to learn while having fun. Listen to Stories for Kids on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Chico, I was telling you, I ain't never go to Africa, man.
You got to get over it, man. I ain't never been to Nigeria before.
Oh, you love it,
I've been
bro.
To Ghana twice.
Well, Ghana's a good place to start.
Yeah.
It's like, it's clean. It's kind of like the States.
Yeah. It
more
reminds
money.
Me of Miami Beach.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That's what it looked like, the lay of the city.
Facts.
But my frat brother is from Nigeria, and his father's, like, rich over there.
Nice.
You know what I mean? But
oh, so you saw it from, oh, you haven't seen it yet.
I always tease him because I'm like, nigga, I can't believe you came to America to live in D.C. poor when your daddy was rich in Nigeria.
It don't make no sense, bro. I tell people, if you got money in Africa, you live so much better than here because you appreciate it. Niggas really, like, understand, like, who they are. There's no racism.
Yeah.
I mean, there's other issues.
Yeah.
But we all Black.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
That's the part that I learned the most in Ghana. Like, just dispelling the myth that Africans don't fuck with us.
It's not true.
That's just the Africans in America.
Yeah.
Like, the one over there, man, so much love, man. Like,
what?
I was walking up and down the street, people were stopping me. When are you guys coming, man? You gotta come. You gotta come. The first time I went, I just went just to kind of, you know, clear my head because, you know, I mean, I just needed that time. But this year, I went and I got the lay of the land. A dude that was over there was a big real estate dude.
Smart.
Showing me around.
Yeah.
And, man, it's so much money
and
so much going on in the infrastructure that they building up over there.
Yeah.
It's crazy. But I want to go to Nigeria because what's crazy is I went to the strip club in Ghana. It's called the Silver Fox.
Okay.
And all of the strippers that was there were from Nigeria.
Yeah, and he
they all come in town to work in Ghana and go back home. I'm like, nigga, that's crazy.
Yeah, bro. Oh, Lagos different, bro. It's different.
Yeah, my security guard did security for the Banj.
Yeah, the Banj.
He said he went over there with him, and he said
crazy.
It was crazy over there.
Yeah, he like the president. He can't walk around for real.
For real?
Yeah, he's It's different with him. Like, he a legend, like OG legend.
The Bang.
He like the equivalent to, let me just say, like Snoop. Like legendary status.
Like legendary status.
He one of the first pioneers of Afrobeat.
Oh, yeah. Well, so, he did security for him, and he said he went over there. He said, man, you're not security over here. He had, like, niggas with AKs and ARs. And
Mother
said he had a Ferrari over there on the dirt road. He was like, where the fuck you drive this bitch at? He was like, nigga.
And it's cool. The thing is, when niggas got Ferraris, they pay that full. There's no monthly, nothing. You got to buy that.
That's the difference over there.
Ain't no loans or none of that shit.
Like,
you see a house? Man, that is a real, that's yours. There's no mortgage.
Yeah.
They don't trust it.
Yeah. But to see the thing that I learned from, you know, I was looking at getting something in Ghana and just learning the property and how it works.
Yeah.
So if you don't have citizenship over there, you can't pass it down.
Absolutely.
But it's yours. You own it. It's like a 99-year lease or some shit they put you on, but you have to get dual citizenship to be able to actually pass it and give it to your family and all of that. So I got the rundown of it.
Huh? You working on trying to get it?
Oh, I'm going to. No, it's,
I love that.
It's Charlamagne put me on to it. It's a dude that they building like outside of Accra, which is the main city, probably an hour outside. They doing like this beach front property.
Yeah.
Where they doing the beach front and the
like
front.
Townhouses?
Like townhouses? No. It's like cabanas in the front. Then they're going to have like shopping and all that in the middle and then houses in the back.
That's tough.
So yeah, I got it on that already. But then in the main city of Accra, the prices, the only good part is that you own it, but the prices are kind of similar in regards
into
to
America.
Yeah. America. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Because they build in the same just as fast.
Yeah. It's real similar, you know, as far as like he showed me three condominiums. Now I take that back, because what it would cost you for that presidential one that they build, and they only wanted $750,000 for it there, but over here that'll cost you $5-6 million. So yeah. But you know, for me, it didn't make no sense to have that, because it's like
I ain't no Airbnb,
so it wouldn't make.
And you
no
want
sense.
That if you're spiritual, you don't want that all that energy in there either.
You know what I mean?
Like, you don't want that. And security, it's a lot. So you smart, bro.
Yeah.
Like if you want to retire and then live there,
That's smart. Yeah, but the beachfront shit made sense because it's commercial. You know, it's commercial property, so
yeah.
It made a little bit more sense. But as far as just the lay of the land, like, you wouldn't think that it was that much going on, but the NFL just invested, the NBA just invested in Ghana.
Nice.
Like, it's a whole bunch going on over there, like, that nobody over here would know about. And they welcoming us to come back. Like,
because they want that, bro.
They want us to come back.
Absolutely, it's the bridge.
You know what I mean?
So, side note, I got my own skincare line, but I only have two at the crib. So I have ordered in. So I get y'all, like, either send it here for y'all individually.
Yeah, for sure.
You know what I'm saying?
All the way.
You got a skincare line?
Oh, yeah, bro. Is it cool?
Go ahead. Put your shit on that. Promote your shit.
You know what I mean?
Promote your shit.
But now I'm going to get either your address or
bet.
Send it to the crib.
Come on. Promote your shit.
They're gonna love this, bro. It's minerals from the Dead Sea.
For real?
It's 100% natural.
You got that shit, them niggas be in the mall. My brother, please, let me show you something. Please, what do you use on your skin?
I beg,
please, brother. Please, don't break my heart, please. Please, you got that good shit. It's from the Dead Sea.
Yeah, I partner with Andy Hilfiger, Tommy Hilfiger now.
Oh, word?
Yeah.
So,
we need another.
Right.
I got something for you, too.
I got something for you. Okay.
What kind of R&B vibe?
It's R&B Caribbean vibe.
Okay. Oh, you from Canarsie?
My man
I went to high school with from Canarsie.
I just ain't finished. No, it's another one. I just ain't finished yet.
It broke.
Yes.
You know me. I like the... Now that I take my time with Rucker, I'm like, that's real nice. Yeah. I'm like, all right.
I
don't want to touch it until I want to get back in the studio and it's right.
Get it.
But if my part already done, you bless that.
Yeah, I'm in the studio for the next 4 days.
Okay.
Here?
Yeah.
Oh, you back?
Yeah, just send it to the crib.
Right.
That's nice.
I send it to you.
Yeah, I do it at the crib. And they told me you're building one right here. Studio, mm-hmm. studio right here?
We almost done, too. I'm just waiting on the man to...
Right.
Nah, that shit is trying to get the roofs and shit, everything insulated so it could be soundproof.
Yeah, yeah.
We done went through, like, really, we on our fifth guy.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. The first four niggas weren't talking about shit.
Oh, right.
And then we did this shit turnaround time. Like,
We don't really need all that. And you got an engineer?
I don't know about this. I don't know about it. You know, I engineer myself.
Oh.
I'm cool myself. As long as we got the right setup.
That's he cool.
Bro. Listen, bro.
That's so dope.
It's not hard. You
in the game.
Once you master a certain, you just need the rough draft skills of saying, all right, as long as you got your template. You like, how you record? All right, boom. How you did it? All right, boom, boom. Everything working right?
Yeah.
Bro, that shit. Peasy.
You like that now?
I'm say that. I've been recording myself, and some of the lady shit that I put out, I recorded myself. And I sent it to
get the mix. Okay.
So it's a song that I recorded myself, but I sent it to my mans. He mixed
cleaned it up.
But I recorded it myself.
Okay.
At the crib.
Okay.
Oh, I got featured with nigga that I done recorded on. I'm like, I recorded that shit.
That's tough.
You at the house?
Yeah. I did.
I remember you was explaining something to me. I can't remember what you called it, but it was like something where you, once you get the right one, nigga, you will never know, you'll make your voice sound a certain shit. What you call it?
It's a template.
Template.
You know, it's as a composer, I mean, I play music. I play instruments. So a motherfucker be, you may be a great artist, but I'm so in depth with the shit now where it's like, I only want to sound good. Why you think Drake sound the same on every song? Why? That's his template.
Template. Yeah.
He knows that, okay, if you ever get on the track and you like, ooh, I like how I sound on this bitch.
That's it.
Say that template.
That's it. Yeah.
You damn near pay for that template and then you can carry it
everywhere
you go.
Oh, so
you
can that's sound what I remember that you telling me.
Yeah. So when you go to another studio,
like, the motherfucker,
they can't mess with
the nigga hold your shit.
Yeah.
And the nigga won't give you your template.
Because an engineer will feel like that's his sauce. Well, I'm like, all right, well, don't mix and master the shit.
Right.
I just only want it to sound good as I'm recording.
Right.
And I can take that template and record everywhere I go.
Right.
Because I want to sound like this every time.
Right.
You get on, you ever get on the track and you be recording shit, you like, you can tell the engineer don't know what he's doing, bro. This shit sound too rough.
Yeah, yeah.
I sound better off the track than I do on the track.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So I know it. He don't know what he's doing.
And then the energy be weird sometimes.
Yeah,
they
be like,
they moving too slow.
That's why I
my God. Smart, bro.
Because you'll be in the house and you'll be like, man, that beat came up.
Yeah. That's that first melody.
The first melody is always better than any melody you're going to come up with after that.
Anything.
For real?
Anything.
Yeah,
it's because you add to that. You get that first melody, and then you add to all those harmonies.
Because
you'll end up, matter of fact, the song we were just talking about.
Yeah.
Because I got the second verse open.
Uh-huh.
Soon as the verse came in, I came in. I'm like, ooh, that shit fire. I like how that came on in.
Yeah.
I don't remember. And I'm like, and I tried to go back and recreate it. I'm like, if I would have been in the studio and I created that and I recorded it,
mismagic,
it would have been super duper perfect, because when you listen to music now, you gotta listen to, like, listen to this song, right? I'm gonna tell you, this shit works. He's going with the flow, the melody is with the flow, even when the way he catching the cadence, it wouldn't have worked with no other flow. This specific flow, this flow fits, and this was the first one, the first melody, like, and then like, oh, that's it, don't do that, that's the one that fits. You try to do anything else on top of all this, this flow comes from that music, it's a vibration, bro. It's a beautiful thing, though, and once you realize it's deeper than just the artist, I realize, everybody is important when it comes to composing the music.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the engineer too, the musician, the artist, the person who made the beat, all that comes into one. That's why, if you see now, artists getting hooked up with producers,
mm-hmm.
and producers now understanding their value.
It's like the same thing as a comedian, right? You know how you tell that joke for the first time and it worked crazy?
Right.
And then you gotta say it again. Somebody like, what'd you say? And you gotta repeat it.
Right.
It might not be the same feeling. You're gonna try to deliver it the same way, but there's nothing like that first, I came up with that, that's gonna work, then deliver it. That first feeling is epic.
Epic.
You know what I'm saying?
Because at that moment, you give them the true feeling.
The true
emotion.
So
you listen to a beat, you like, you end up saying it, and you like, ooh, okay, then you add to it.
Yep.
And then you like, all right, I'm going to take pieces from this, and then it end up being some shit.
Yep.
That's why you got to really go for how you feel.
Masculine.
When you're a songwriter, you go for how you feel, and you listen to the beat. The beat will tell you
it
what
tell
you want.
Everything,
it'll tell you what you want to know.
Everything.
You got to trust the instinct.
And everything. Like, it's like life, too.
But I'm saying, though, like, how often, you know, you hear some people say, man, I knew it was a hit when I made it. You know what I mean? I hear people say that sometimes, but how many times do you make some shit and you be like, man, fuck that, and it ended up turning into a hit?
You gotta talk to him. He the man with the hits. He the man with the hits.
It's something. It is
butterscotch happy hits.
It is plural.
Butterscotch one, butterscotch two.
Yeah.
Butterscotch three.
Uh-huh. Brother, you understand me, man?
Hey.
Nah, but bro, like, it's like a spiritual thing, bro. Like, when you do a melody that you can imagine every race singing to, every age singing to. Like, when we did this record, it was like, this is so relatable. Like, little kids could say, Asian people, Indian people. It was just like, how can this not work? The sample, right? It's sometimes it's lightning in the bottle, bro. Like, you can't even explain it. It's just like a blessing. Like, but then when it hit and it feel... like that first, like, listen back and you get chills, it's like, okay, I did something. Mm-hmm. As an artist, every record you feel like, yo, I killed it. I'm the one. This is going to be the one. This is the, ooh, when I play the stadium music. But then there's this certain ones where it's like, ooh, this is nice. This
okay,
is different.
Okay, your first hit. All right.
Yeah.
Over the threshold, over that hump when it's like, I'm just not an artist no more.
Mm.
I'm now in the group.
Yeah.
Because you technically, the plaque means you're in the group.
Facts,
you
facts.
You feel me?
Facts, facts.
When you finally got over the hump.
Yeah.
Because, you know, I didn't know you did music.
Yeah.
Because, you know, you own your shit. You doing your shit.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And you a gangster.
Yeah.
So how do you be a gangster and a ladies man and going over that threshold and hitting that hump where it's like, now you can relax, your shoulders can drop. And you're like, I've been accepted both times, here and here.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I never felt the relaxation, bro.
Mm.
It's never been relaxation. That's what makes it more magic.
Mm-hmm.
Once I do, I lost.
Right.
I'm no different from the lazy nigga that's trying to get on.
Right, right.
You know what I'm saying?
Right.
When I get it. For me, when I got a taste of the success and I saw the plaque come in and say platinum, I said, I want another one.
Mm-hmm.
I gotta work harder. And I know I gotta work harder than most people because I'm doing gangster, I'm doing this, we're doing comedy, we're doing house party, we're doing all these other cool things. So I know I have to really prove myself. I don't have the same, like a Jacquees who can be an artist and record all day.
Record only.
Right. And that be like, if this didn't work, it's cool. Mm-hmm. He gonna come back with another one.
Mm-hmm.
The microscope on me is like,
you can't miss.
I can't miss and I gotta work with less time.
Mm-hmm.
Bro, I made In My Bed and Love Rhythm. Okay, let me give you my schedule.
Break it down.
Superstar. God bless you.
Who got so many different.
God bless you. You a superstar too, man.
But they don't understand it. They think the shit is easy.
No.
Break it down.
Okay.
Doing this, doing that, and doing that with little time.
Bruh, I'll tell you right now.
Come on, somebody.
So if you remember season 5, Power was going crazy. That's when Dre, everybody, it was Kanan, everybody trying to get Dre. That was the most heavy lifting I've ever done. As an actor, I've never taken acting classes in my life. So all of this level of learning and responsibility was new. So then my Empire, I'm signed to Empire. So Empire was like, listen, bro, we need a record. I know you're filming, but we got you a studio. We got 6 hours. We got some time for you. I said, I have a big scene tomorrow. I don't know how I'm going to. Okay, all right, cool. Just set it up. Literally, bro, we finished filming at 11 p.m. At 12:30 was my 12:30 a.m. is my session.
Mm-hmm.
I got 6 hours to
now
close
you're
out.
I'm a singer.
So I'm a singer. So I've been talking all day. Mm-hmm. I've been learning lines, and as an actor, bro, it's mentally draining, bro.
Straining,
and then even mentally, like to do the same line over and over and over all day, it's hard.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, so you finish. So I gotta now go into creative. And I have 6 hours, I don't have a hit on my project yet.
We're talking about 12 to 6 in the morning.
12 to 6 in the morning.
Okay.
12:30 a.m. to 6 a.m.
Do you have to go to set the next day?
And I have to go to set 9 a.m.
Call
I'm not gonna sleep. So I'm like, all right, cool. I gotta give him a hit. Mm-hmm. I got 6 hours. Niggas usually get 6 weeks to do what I'm about to do. Niggas get 6 months to do what I have to do. Mm-hmm. 6 hours. I go in, play the beat. Again, this is divine. This is all God, yo. They play the beat. My man plays Love Rhythm. And Nish instinctively was like, baby, baby, yeah, I don't say too much. That came out like, boom. I was like, yo, all right, cool. Let me just go lay this. I don't know what's going to happen to it, but whoa. They send it to me. The next day, they're like, yo, we got a hit in our hand. I send it to Empire. They're like, this is the single. So that's just to give perspective that doing both mm-hmm. is literally trying to be a doctor and a lawyer at the same time. That's why most people can't do it. Mm-hmm. Who can be a doctor and a lawyer at the same time? You mm-hmm. can't. It's impossible. Unless you have the right team, the right this, the right, everything has to work instinctively. So, and again, with God. So, like, for me, 6 hours, I was able to make a record that most people get 6 months to do. Mm-hmm. And it's just, again, a testament to not having the wiggle room like most people do. I have to
commit
every time. I can't miss, you know what I mean? Because then it's like, he ain't that nice anyway. I already, he's an actor.
Right.
You get what I'm saying? Right. So I wear
and
that.
You was a different persona. You bro, gangster and a ladies man.
Yeah,
we two different characters. Like.
I mean, butterscotch is a real thing.
Butterscotch.
I can't explain that one. Yeah, that one I can't explain.
You can be most hated and most loved at the same time.
Hey, Jesus is the same way, no?
Jesus
is the same way. You know?
You doing music first before the acting and all that?
Bro, my story is crazy, bro. So
shit, we about to tell that motherfucker and watch this. Yeah. Welcome back. You play that shit first. That's how we feeling.
That's how you feeling. What's the vibe?
I should walk some warmer clothes.
Oh, it's hard, bro.
Oh, yeah, we'll do it. We'll work back out some plate.
Mm-hmm. What's up?
But the got something for you.
Yeah.
I got something for you.
Yeah.
No cap.
I love
DC,
it. I love
it. You got to do the intro today, man. This is a real pun.
Got it. Sometimes but the cat. Let me tell you something. Let me tell you something. We got my dog in the building, man. We got a real mogul, a real icon, a real African brother lineage in the blood. You understand? He's a multi-platinum artist. You dig what I'm saying? He's an amazing actor. He's an amazing father. He's an incredible friend. He's an executive. He's a producer. He's a writer. I don't think y'all understand, man. My man got so many hats. He got so many talents, you dig? None other than my dog, Rosini! Come on, somebody.
It feels good to be here. It's so hard not to talk like that with you. My goodness, it is so happy to have you here.
That was
very, very good. I have been to Africa many times, and I am very, very happy to have someone here who I can give me the real.
I live through him.
Oh, yeah.
I watch his stories. I don't think that's the most I've stalked you.
When you
in Ghana, every time you go to Africa, I think I jump in the bed and be like, Chico doing.
Yeah. And you see, like, every
you
time.
Be walking this shit, I be like, that nigga ain't got no shoes on.
Every time I'm over there, you see it. Ain't the time I'm over there with somebody, where is this young flying Carlos Miller?
Tell the story.
Bro, like, bro. Listen, I was in Ghana. I'm walking down the street. This nigga gave me dap for 5 blocks. I'm talking about. He grabbed my hand and walked with 5 feet, man. You please call them. Can you call them for me, please? Yeah. Just so I can say hello. We love you here. And then to see the type of, the way that they consume content over there is so much. Like, you don't even realize how much you've done until you go to another part of the world and see how people are consuming the work that you put in. Bro. Like, because they showing me stuff that we did years ago.
They appreciate it.
And I'm like, yo, I don't even remember doing this. And they were like, we love this.
I'm back if I ever go.
What?
I'm like, you know what?
Just stay.
I
mean, it feel like that.
That's why I always tell people, I say, yo, if you have money in Africa, you get treated so much better if you're a black man and a black woman from your own people, because you live better, you get appreciated, you get told how amazing you are consistently. And people, there's no jealousy. Everybody wants to win. Everybody.
Money or just the culture?
Both.
Right.
It's like if you show love, they show love back.
Right. Yeah. Right.
You know what I mean? Here, it's a little different. You know, if you show love, you don't know what the other person really gonna be on.
Right.
You know what I mean? But here, but back home,
they appreciate you. Right. You gonna eat here?
Oh, my God. Cause we all trying to get it together.
Man, it's crazy. I ended up waking up one morning. This is probably about 4 weeks after I got back from Ghana. And I'd never get on Twitter, but something made me check my Twitter. And I had like 500 mentions of people just saying, come to my house, come to my restaurant, come. I'm like, what is going on? I checked and seen that I was trending number 5 in Ghana, true. In the whole country, for a video that I did when I was over there about the pharmacy.
Wow.
In Ghana. Like, bruh, it blew my mind just because it was so many people that were offering things that niggas would never offer
do.
You in America.
Yes,
like,
bro.
Come to my home. I want you. Are you still here?
Yes.
My family wants to feed you, please.
Yes.
My daughter wants to meet
and
you.
And mind you, these are people that don't have as much as most of us
nothing.
Do have
like,
here.
They want to show you love. Whatever
bro.
They have, they're willing to
yes.
share and
yes.
give to you, bro. Like,
yes.
if it's anything, I've been saying this for the longest, man, but we got to get over there just so y'all can see how much love we get over there, man.
This is I've been thinking about it about a year and a half. Not a year and a half, probably like the year last year, because I'm going to execute. I want to do an African tour. And I want to give back like 15-20% to whatever country, your country that I'm
yeah.
in.
Yeah.
And wherever I perform at,
I'm
going to give 15%. 9 times out of 10, I'm down there getting shit back
anyway.
I just want to... You fuck with me, I fuck with y'all, and we just gonna help each other.
Exactly.
I'm so
man,
ready.
Let me open up.
You the headliner, nigga.
For real.
Are you ready for Buster Scott? You ready for Buster Scott?
And it's so crazy because, like, you see... I saw so many people from so many different countries over there because, you know, in Ghana, from December 1st to, like, January, it's just the party. They party the whole time.
Yeah.
And so people from all over the world come there.
Yeah.
And, man, I'm talking about South Africa, Kenya.
Everywhere.
The Ivory Coast, all of these different places, people are like, oh my God, I love y'all.
Yeah.
Like, when are y'all coming over here?
Y'all are global, bro.
I'm so... put on Africa.
That's not real, bro.
So fake, bro.
That's the Africans love us.
What, bro? They're scared of how if we know our real story.
Yeah, our real heritage.
If we know our truth, if we really truly go home, there's so much money to be made. There's so much businesses to be built.
Right.
Entrepreneurship. They're afraid if we know this, we have no reason to be here. That's what they're scared of. And they're trying to keep it from us, bro.
We're still laboring, quote unquote.
Yes.
We're doing all the heavy lifting.
Yes.
We're still doing the heavy lifting.
Absolutely.
All right.
Yeah.
10 cents a day in the arms of the angel. That's not what you see when you get.
No.
I'm talking about Benzes, Range Rovers, Maybachs, Ferraris, all that. It's money over there. And then even the people who are living what you would consider to be lesser,
that's
they still are. Working and ain't nobody big and they want you and then whatever they have they willing to offer you
bro.
Like I had so many people like please come sit with my family, come eat, we love you, you know what I mean? And it was just mind blowing to me because my persona, the way that I felt was like these people don't like us.
But from the
moment I got off the plane, it was like Chico Bean, my brother. Welcome home, my brother.
Yeah,
do you
bro.
Need anything, my brother? Please, my brother. I love you, my brother. I'm talking about walk me through the airport.
Welcome home.
Make sure I got my bags. So, I mean, everything. And then it's like, man, I make jokes about it, but I never go to the strip club in America because I'm not doing that. Not even participating. I went to the strip club in Africa, bro. I went to the Silver, it's called
Silver Fox
in Ghana.
Where they from? Where the girls from?
The girls were from Nigeria, most of them.
Come
in hustling.
I don't know, please, I just heard things.
I went in there with $500 American, bro. $500 American. I look like Big Meech in that bitch. It looked like BMF in that month. I'm talking about, bro, I've never had that much fun in my life. And I know that I can't recreate it, so I'm only going to the strip club in Africa. I'm talking about, I gave a dude $500. He came back with a tray of African money.
Man.
CDs is what it is. I'm like, bro,
this,
I'm talking about, I'm in it. Take this shit.
You got the strip club in Africa.
Bro, I'm talking about turned up. Turned up, bro. Damn. I'm talking about turned up all the way, man.
That's the reason why I ain't went to Africa yet. I know I'm not prepared.
Bro, you might not come back.
Neither
one of y'all.
That's what I'm saying.
You would never come back.
No, listen, both of these, I'm telling you, these two, I can't wait. I gotta be there to see it.
Where I'm at and I'll be like, America. What?
I'm talking about everything you can think of. Some of the most beautiful women you've ever seen.
Why you asking on that one, bro? My girl is Tanzanian. She's
man, some
African
of the most beautiful women you ever seen in your life.
I have to go home and please.
And it's so crazy,
but you got
bro.
Family. Bro, you got family that's like linked direct.
I'm 100% Nigerian.
Nigerian.
Yeah, like
so I want to go to Nigeria, but everybody be scaring me talking about you gonna get kidnapped. So it's. But, bro, like, I'm having a conversation. I swear to God.
Your now was a little too soft.
Convincing.
Yeah, you know what I mean?
It was like, no, man.
Listen.
AT&T connects an ode to podcasts. Connect the alarm. Change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze. 10 more minutes to dream.
Connect the shower. Lather up with the news. Sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work in traffic so slow.
Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories, change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
Oh, hi, I'm Rachel Zoe, and I'm back for another season of my podcast, Climbing in Heels. You might know me from the Rachel Zoe Project, or perhaps from my work as a celebrity stylist. And guess what? I'm still just as fully obsessed with all things fashion, beauty, and business. My podcast, Climbing in Heels, is all about celebrating the stories of extraordinary women, and this season, we're taking things up a notch. I'll be talking to some incredible women across so many industries, from models and beauty industry stars to doctors, entrepreneurs, and TV personalities. Climbing in Heels is here to bring you a weekly dose of glamour, inspiration, and fun. Every week, listeners will be able to ask me any questions. I'm answering it all. My life is absolutely crazy with so much going on, and I'm so beyond excited to bring you along for the ride. Whether we're talking red carpet looks, current trends, or products I'm obsessed with, I'm here to be your fashion fairy godmother. Listen to Climbing in Heels every Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Across Generations, where the voices of Black women unite in powerful conversations. I'm your host, Tiffany Cross. Tiffany Cross. I want you all to join me and be a part of sisterhood, friendship, wisdom, and laughter. In every episode, we gather a seasoned elder.
But even with a child, there's no such thing as the wrong thing if you love them.
Myself, as the middle generation, I don't feel like I have to get married at this big age in life, but it is a desire I have and something that I've navigated in dating. And a vibrant young soul for engaging intergenerational conversations.
I'm very jealous of your generation that didn't have to deal with Instagram and Tinder.
This is Across Generations, where Black women's voices unite, and together, you know how we do, we create magic. Listen to Across Generations podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Parents, if you've ever experienced bedtime battles with the kids, I'm going to let you into a little secret. I'm Abby, a mother of two, and I had these battles myself. Endless excuses, delay tactics, and many tears and tantrums. But I've created a solution. The perfect kids podcast that makes bedtime a dream. It's called Koala Moon, and it's hosted by me, Abby. With over 300 episodes, packed with original stories and sleep meditations, Koala Moon makes bedtimes easy and enjoyable. Episodes start out engaging and really rather magical, but as they progress, they gently slow to a calm and relaxing pace to have your little ones out like a light. Since launching in 2022, Koala Moon has helped with over 20 million nights sleep and received over 6,000 five-star reviews. Win back your evenings. Listen to Koala Moon now on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Parents, ready to discover a new educational and interactive podcast for kids? Join Stories for Kids by Lingo Kids, where episodes are packed with fun activities. Right, Elliot?
Oh, yes! We learned how to recycle at the beach.
That was great fun. Callie, what do you say?
It was. And that time when we did the science experiment and Billy made Raisin's dance.
That is so cool, Billy.
He did. Not to mention when a certain Elliot took up swimming classes with Lisa.
That was me!
Bet you can't catch me.
I'm going to catch you.
All this fun and more in our Stories for Kids. Lingo Kids Stories for Kids is now available on StoryButton, the kid-friendly device for screenless podcast listening. Listen to Stories for Kids on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Listen, man, I'm having a conversation with a girl at the bar. It's two major hotels, right? It's two major hotels in Ghana. Like, well, it's a bunch of nice hotels, but the one that I was staying at, it's like a bar that's 24 hours, serve food and all that. So I'm sitting down there just having a conversation. I'm talking about, man, this beautiful woman just came and was like, oh my God, are you Chico Bean? I love you so much. We having a conversation. And she was like, you know, I work so hard. My rent is 18,000 CDs a year. And I'm like, 18,000? I did the math. Her rent, $1,800 a year. And the fucked up part is I had to act like that was a lot. I was like, damn, 18,000? Because I don't need her to know. I got to pay your rent forever, man. Like, this is crazy over here. Like,
so you paid her rent? You paid her rent?
No, I didn't. I thought about it. I bought all her drinks, though. That was like $40. But still, okay. It was worth every dime. I mean, that's what I had to pretend like that was a lot. I was like, 18,000?
Damn. But how is it? How accessible is it for you to build
in Africa?
Yeah.
Oh, bro, you know the right people, bro.
Shout out to Michael Blaser, he built a school over there.
I got a four-bedroom condo in Nigeria, and what I did was my pops is really still tied to the culture, like for real, for everyday, you know. So he was like, yo, they're building something in this specific area that in 4 or 5 years, this is right before COVID. Mm-hmm. He was like, in 4 or 5 years, this is going to be one of the biggest areas. You know what I mean? So get in now. Mm-hmm. So I was like, how much? He was like, honestly, bro, if you do $250,000, it'll feel like it's a $4 million home for what you would get here. Mm-hmm. So I promise you. So I was like, all right, cool. Gave it to him. And now it's worth about triple that in 4 or 5 years.
Listen, like the only thing, because the dude that I was with this time was a real estate mogul over there. Right. So he rolled me around. Charlemagne put me in contact with, salute to Charlemagne. And he rolled me around and showed me 3 condominiums that they building.
Yeah.
And then also, you know, some beachfront stuff that they doing. And for what you pay, bro. You first of all, it's no property taxes and all that.
It's none of that.
Pack your bags. Fuck this shit. Like, they showed me
it's an area in a crowd where they building a bunch of like buildings and, you know, condominiums and all that. They showed me 3 different ones. One bedroom condominium. Probably like, I'd say probably like 2,500, 3,000 square foot condominium. $250. The 2-bedroom, $450.
Yeah.
The 3-bedroom, $550. The presidential penthouse suite, the upstairs, downstairs, swimming pool in it.
That's about $5 million. In LA.
$6-7 million in America.
Yeah.
Because Ghana is like Miami Beach. Mm-hmm. It's like South Beach. That's what it looks like. It's surrounded by the ocean. Oceanfront property and all of that. And then if you go over outside of the coast, like outside of the main city, then you get 70, 80 grand, bro. You can build what it'll cost you $1 million to build here. Easy.
Fuck, I'm over here, man.
So I'm gonna be there before, but come down December with me.
See, that's when it's December.
Come down December with me.
Yeah.
That's when my friend was talking about coming. You gotta come in Nigeria in December.
I promise you get all the information you need, bro.
I gotta go.
Yeah.
I gotta go.
So like how long?
Huh?
Yeah.
How long have you been here?
So no, I was born and raised here, but I spent a lot of my childhood going back and forth.
Most people do.
I know where I'm from. So like, my mom is, shout out to all my Nigerians, my West Africans. So, like, my mom is Igbo,
My dad is Yoruba, so my mom is from the village. My dad is from the city.
Okay.
So my dad is like one of the area boys, which means like he was one of them dudes that was really like around Fela. So Fela is like the Michael Jackson of African music. He's the heart and soul of Afrobeat. Mm-hmm. So my dad was like one of the little, you know, runners for him, doing whatever, whatever. So he was already part understanding the lifestyle of being a rock star. Mm-hmm. You know, my mom was in the village. So whenever I went back, I was able to see like
both worlds,
like damn, the fast life and then having to walk 2 miles to get good water. And then get the walk 2 miles to get the water. Then walk back holding the water, and if you drop it, you gotta go back to get it, and then when you get back to where you stand, you gotta wait to boil the water, to clean it. So it's a whole, before you get to drink water, and where my mom was at, it was 4 or 5 hours. So a lesson like that at 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 years old, it show you the quality of hard work. Mm-hmm. Show you
shit,
how to be a man.
To spill that water.
Oh, bro, you getting your ass whooped. So it's like concentration. It's like determination. It's like you hungry. So what you gonna do to survive? It's all these things as a child is instilling in you. That's which got me to be who I am today. Where
when
I'm appreciative.
Home, like, cut on the faucet. You like, what? Oh, yeah.
Exactly. Right. So when you when you asked me earlier, like, do you feel like you can just now, I don't even know what that is, right, bro. I don't even know how to understand that.
Right, because there's no relaxation. There's none. You know that they make a living out of not having.
Yes.
You can't complain out of, and that's so much more.
Yes,
mm-hmm.
Exactly.
Right.
So
exactly, bro.
It's a big Nigerian, you know, population in America. Yeah. Like, so has your success kind of indoctrinate, I mean, like, kind of got you in a space where people are looking at you like, okay, this is one of ours, you know, because over here as Black Americans, it's difficult to get embraced by, you know, you can be the man from where you from, but you go one state over and then you're like, who the fuck is you?
Yeah.
Does it work the same way?
It does, bro. And I've been very fortunate, man, because, you know, I've always championed being Nigerian. You know, I'm like, there was a point as an artist, they asked me, yo, you gonna change your name to Little Whoop Wop Wop Wop? Like, no, I'm gonna stick to Rotimi, man.
That's Little Whoop Wop Wop watching this, like, you better flip my name.
Yo, keep my name. Little Whoop Wop Wop. Child. Always wanna talk about Little
Whoop Wop. Nigga, keep Whoop Wop the bell back when they mouth. I need to go and drop the meat. Ready to talk.
Right, so for me, it was like, I always just like, let me just stay true to who I am. And when I did that, it was, okay, let me add humor, let me add butterscotch, but let me let them know he's from Nigeria. Mm-hmm. All right, cool, let me do this R&B thing, but who are you really, Rotimi? And it was like, the first thing that started feeling natural was the Afrobeat rhythm, the Afrobeat sound, the creating that wave, and that's what worked for me. So when you champion your name, you champion your artistry, and now you in every interview you saying in the acting world, mm-hmm, I'm African. It was like, man, thank you so much because, bro, you know, as we was growing up, bro, it wasn't cool to be African.
Hell
it wasn't cool to be Haitian. It was like you fresh off the boat. It was jokes like that for us, you know what I mean? So
who are some big ass stars in Africa that's from America that don't even know they stars in Africa?
That don't even know?
Yeah, like people who have no idea how big they are in Africa.
Man, probably Damson from Snowfall.
Uh-huh.
Ezeba, no, he know he's there. John Boyega, another actor. I think at this point, the world's so small, I think everybody kind of know. Mm-hmm. But like to actually, you gotta go and feel that impact.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, if
you gotta, I don't know if they've been.
Nigga,
I don't know.
You,
bro.
That's who? You and you.
Bro, what?
Both of y'all gotta go over there, man.
And feel that love, bro. Yeah. Like,
I'm like, see it for my kid, man. I'm coming to get him, man. I'm coming back over here, man.
I'm serious, bro. Like,
I found for the teachers.
Bro, especially you because of how your mind works.
I would, knowing that I'll feel a certain energy, I'll feel bad leaving.
You would.
I'd be like, I don't want to leave y'all. They'd be like, please don't leave. I'd be like, don't worry about it.
Yeah.
We finna build that line over here, my nigga.
Yeah, yeah.
You want to be from the west side? Nigga, you from the west side. From the west side. Nigeria, of Atlanta, right? We from Big Cannon. We can't. You can say that shit.
For sure.
I can see you after you filming done filming everything, spending 4 months there.
Yeah.
Easy.
That'll be my relaxation because when I'm gone, I'm like, absolutely, no, I'm gone. I take that little 5 months. Matter of fact, it went to a half year now.
I know.
It worked.
Catch me half a year. Yeah,
I mean, I'm talking about, I mean, I ain't see hear no sirens, no dogs
nothing,
barking,
bro.
None of that. It was peaceful, man. The lay of the land, everything is beautiful over there, one. And then everything that you do here as far as, you know, as a consumer, right. All of those things change when you over there because it's us. It's right. Black people. It's not, you're not a minority
it's
real. In Africa.
Well, it's, a, yeah. it's you, your people and you just, it's still a form of appreciation
yeah, yeah.
that you don't see over
a
here.
Black
absolutely,
man.
Absolutely.
You get to feel what white people feel like
everywhere.
In America.
In America.
Yeah. You get to feel, you get to feel what white people feel everywhere in the world.
That's going to be the clip, nigga.
Yeah, I'm telling you.
That's going to be the clip, nigga.
Hell yeah. Hell yeah. That's real,
absolutely.
Bro.
You get to see how white people feel in America.
So, you know, the Afro beats is then took over. Like, it's such a major genre. Like, what did you know any of the artists
I've been
that are
hearing this beat? What is that? I've been hearing that shit by 5 minutes.
Mm. Like it?
This shit?
Yeah.
No, this ring.
Oh, the ring. Yeah. Oh, I think about the beat.
I hear in the beat.
It's not in the beat.
No,
no, but I'm hearing it through all us talking and all. I just been hearing this shit.
I get you.
I don't know.
Oh, you talking about that?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I don't know what that is.
Mm-hmm.
Something off.
What is that?
No idea.
You got a hold of something. Is it a speaker or something?
We're going to go find it.
Yes, sir. I just know how to be here.
You know, did you know any of the artists? Like, one of my favorite, Burna Boy. I've been listening to Burna Boy for years, way before it blew up. Like, did you know any of these artists that blew up prior to them blowing up here?
So, let me tell you, bro. Back in 2012, so when Wizkid first came to America, they had found out about me musically because one of my songs back then had crossed over back home. And this is before Afrobeats and everything. This is before Instagram and all that. It was just, I don't know how they found it, but when he got here, they were like, yo, bro, can you come open up for Wiz, you know, his first time in America, we're doing 500 seaters, you know, can you do it? And he was a part of a group.
This
is 2012.
Ooh.
Yeah, this is early. So this is when, to the point where I got off the plane and Wiz is like, hey bro, let me help you with your bags, man. Like it was, niggas was really like, oh, like we have a mission, you know what I mean? And I always love him for that because he knew he was what he was gonna be. So we're doing 500 seaters, I'm performing in front of this crowd, and we're just, the conversation that we had was like, yo, in 10 years, bro, I want to be the best actor. I just started acting then.
Mm-hmm.
Best actor, best artist, best this is. He was like, bro, I'm taking over the world, bro. That was his answer. So I saw the wave in 2012. Then after that, I started just falling back into, man, let me just do R&B. And that was, when you know, bro, as an artist and you young, you're like, let me try sounding like that person.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Let me try sounding like that person.
Mm-hmm.
And those records are good because you can sing,
mm-hmm.
but they don't hit
mm-hmm.
because it's not true. So it took me 5 years to really find out who Rotimi was mm-hmm. and remembering the conversation I had with Wiz in 2012. And in 2017, that's when it hit me like, bro, just be you. You are the definition of African American. You genuinely are. So be the bread of R&B, Afrobeat, all in one, and that's when the hit records started happening.
Mm-hmm.
So meeting him then and seeing like, oh, Africa in about 8 years is gonna be crazy.
Mm-hmm.
Because after a while, people was like, what is this noise, yo? I remember bringing Love Rhythm to the radio station in 2018, and then the program director was like, I can't even get on the beat of this. What is this rhythm? I can't, this is not good.
They don't even understand.
They don't even understand it. And this is before Wiz and all them had, Wiz had the record with Drake and,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
you know, so I comfortably can say I personally brought Afrobeats to America.
Talk your talk.
Hell no, yeah.
Like it's talk. A fact, you know talk what I mean? Talk. So like, I think it was One Dance with Drake and Wiz.
Yeah.
One Dance had just afterwards it come out. And not saying it was because of me, no.
Yeah.
The timing
but
of
the sound.
But the sound.
Open people's ears
I was
up
the
to
one
the sound.
Taking
right.
the music to all the program directors mm-hmm. with Love Rhythm and getting them used to, you love me like Juju, all that type of rhythm. Mm-hmm. And then when that started happening, it was like, oh, I like this.
Mm-hmm.
Then
now
when
it's a lane for it.
Now there's a lane for us.
So
then, of course, Drake obviously helped as well because mm-hmm. having Wiz on it, but then that happened. Then in the middle of that, I dropped In My Bed. So it's like, oh, this is really good, could work.
Mm-hmm.
Then the DeVito and everybody else, you know, and it was just like, so I can proudly say that I did that.
Mm-hmm.
But it started with that conversation in them hotel rooms, like, bro, let's just be true to who we are, bro. Like, it's okay to be African, because again, growing up, the jokes was like, oh, y'all dirty, y'all this, y'all that, Jamaicans and hate. I think being African is a new Jamaican, because how niggas look like, oh, yeah, you Jamaican, you know what I mean? But yeah, bro, it was a tough grind, but when we found out who we truly were, now you see what the world, you know, take
on. Yeah, it's crazy, because it's artists that's, like, you, as Americans, we get so clouded with this being the biggest thing in the world, and this, yeah. You know what I mean? But when I went to Ghana, it's artists that are superstars over there. Yeah, Black Sharif, Odomoto Black.
Amazing.
All these dudes is...
Amazing.
I'm talking about super-duper stars over there, and it just ain't translated over here yet. Yeah, but the fact that the people's ears over here are open to the sound, it's only a matter of time before they get one they catch over here.
Absolutely. And then it's out of here.
And you're out of
it's
here.
It's out of here, bro. So, you know, it's divine timing, it's work ethic, is the right, everything gotta work at the right time for this thing to hit, bro, because there's a million artists, athletes, comedians.
And the access is so crazy.
And the access.
This. Dude, yeah. They got drill music and trap music in Africa, too.
Odomodu.
Odomodu Black, bro.
That's the definition of what that is. Nigga. He hard body, bro.
Man, that nigga, I gotta play some of that. Yeah, they played that shit. I went to, did the radio when I was over there. I told you I did the radio when I was in Ghana.
Yeah.
I walked in the radio station, they was playing the Black Sharif and Odomodu Black. I'm like, man, what the fuck is this?
Mm-hmm. They're
like, Odomodu Black. This is
championing
it.
This
is it. I'm like, this is it. This shit jamming.
And you know, And Atlanta is one of the few places that champion the artists how Africa champions their artists.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you ain't heard Old Boy yet. Mm-hmm. Even just how the radio work. You know what I mean? Like, it's just all love.
And politics.
And politics.
You know how that shit is.
I say the only place I've been that reminded me of that is not even Atlanta, it's Detroit. Like, because when you go to Detroit,
they love all
they
artists.
They do the same. Detroit. Yeah, they do.
They play Detroit.
You go to the Bay Area too. Like, there's certain places you go, you're going to hear hometown music.
I love that, bro.
And when I was in Ghana, like, that, so they played American music, you know what I mean? The mainstream stuff. You hear the Drakes and the, you know what I mean? Those people. But for the most part, you hear their music, you know what I'm saying? What is another dude that was over there that's real big? I can't think of his name right now. It'll come to me, but he is real popular over there. But he's like, they call him like the Kanye West because he's controversial. Like, he speak his mind a lot over there, which is controversial. I got to think of my man's name. But these are all people that I'm riding around with my driver and he just playing the music over and over. And I'm just in there.
And it just feels good.
Shazamming.
Yeah, bro.
You know what I mean? Who is this?
Yeah,
who is this? Who is this? Because the sound, like you said, but it's the fact that the sound was, he was opened up to the sound over here.
Absolutely,
luckily,
bro,
for me, like I said, I had African partners, so he used to play me all the Nigerian music. I can't think of the name of the artist, but I can't think of what the... Damn, I got to find that shit.
15? 15, 16?
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, I know.
You know what? You know the melody. That's my shit. What is that shit? Man, hold up. I'm going to find it.
You know the one I fought with now?
What?
Damn, I can't get it.
Oh, you talking about,
that's my shit. Come on, man. You know it, nigga. You know what he said. You know it. I know I'm saying it wrong.
That's my nigga name. Shatta Wale.
Shatta Wale.
Shatta Wale. Shatta Wale.
Oh, Shatta Wale.
Shatta Wale. That's the nigga name. Shatta Wale.
You a connoisseur. What's the damn song the shit is being right now?
You talking about Drift?
That's Drift.
Yeah, that's not.
I'm saying a whole
nother
word.
That's a whole different type of music, my brother.
What's
like,
that?
We black though.
Drift is not.
Yeah, that's like dancehall reggae energy.
But it's still the same though. Yeah, like, you know, I mean, it comes from the same place, like in the same essence.
We all African.
Yeah, you know what I mean.
That's
what
Caribbean. Yeah. Okay. Understand.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. We all African.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's
you know
all.
What? I wanna switch the gears up right
talk
quick.
To him. Talk
then
to
him. Third get right. Cause we all know you're an amazing artist.
Thank
the
you.
Plaque speak for itself.
Thank you, bro.
Like you said, I'm just hearing you. Your journey with the acting and the music, you know, finding your ways, and like you said, it's 2012 when you said, all right, I'm finna start acting.
Yeah.
Nigga, your career been popping since 2012.
Thank you.
You've been doing shit since whenever you started.
Thank you.
You just been doing this shit.
Thank you.
Being an amazing actor.
Yeah.
being one of the ones that, you know, they call scene stealers.
Come on now. You know about that. You know about
oh,
that.
Oh, I know about all of
you know about
a
that.
A lot about that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's why they want to give you one, two lines.
Yeah.
So,
you figure it out.
When you're a scene stealer and then you end up having to be in five seasons.
Yeah.
Explain the process and the procedure of getting a role on Power and, you know, going through the audition space and when your agent calls and say, hey, man, they got some new shit coming out.
Ooh. So we got time to just tell
that
story?
We got time.
All right, because we got to start from the beginning.
Start from in the beginning.
Okay.
In the beginning.
So I graduated college in Chicago.
Right.
At this point in time, it was just music. I was 21 years old. My manager at the time was like, yo, you're so natural in front of a camera.
Mm-hmm.
Why don't you just, you know, go down to the city, go down to Chicago, and just try to get an agent.
Mm-hmm. And you're an artist at the time.
You're just an artist, struggling artist. We living in a hood in Hyde Park in Chicago, just doing music, literally.
And you're in Chicago.
I'm in Chicago. Okay. I'm living in Chicago, like, dead in the hood. So, and I was like, all right, cool, I'm going to go. So no agency wanted to take me because I had no resume.
Right.
The only agency that, this is 2012. The only agency that took me was only because her son was a freshman at my college.
Mm-hmm.
So she was just looking out for alma mater.
Mm-hmm.
She was like, all right, well, let me just look out for you. You have no resume, so cool.
Mm-hmm.
I go in, she's like, you never act before? I said, no. She was like, all right, cool. All right, it's okay. This is a Monday. She was like, I have a audition on Wednesday for you, but the role is already cast. Don't think you're gonna go in there and get it. I just want you to get used to auditioning because I'm good friends with the casting director.
Mm-hmm.
I said, okay, cool. I go in on Wednesday. The show's called Boss. Mm-hmm. It's with Kelsey Grammer. So I go in on Wednesday and the directors and everybody's there and she's like, hey, this is the kid I was telling you about. If you have any pointers for him, it's his first day. Just you know.
Mm-hmm.
So I get in there, but I'm on my hustle, my music hustle. Remember during that time they had the rubber bands with the website?
Right.
Like so I'm gonna go TimmyMusic.com or Timmy Music to the acting world, right? So I'm like, all right, cool. They all start laughing a little bit. So I was like, I didn't know that was a bad thing to do, but it worked for me.
Right.
I get up there and they're like, can you go? I do it. Boom. They're like, can you do it one more? Can you try it a different way? Boom, I do it another one. I then realize I do it 8 different ways. And they're like, so this is your first day? I was like, yeah, it's my first day acting. Boom. 2 weeks later, get the call that I'm now on TV. I got the role. They got rid of the other guy. I got the role.
Mm-hmm.
So now my first acting class is episode 1 of this show.
Mm-hmm.
And Kelsey Grammer takes me in as my acting coach because he's like, yo, this is camera left. This is camera right. This is called sides.
Mm-hmm.
This is where the art, this is where you stand. I'm learning all this.
Debut.
I'm terrified, bro. I'm learning debut. So,
right.
But again, this is where, again, for every actor and every musician, anybody who's creative out there, yo, you never know who's watching. So season 1 goes crazy. They're like, yo, who is this kid that came out of nowhere? Literally just walked in.
Mm-hmm.
Courtney Kemp, sorry. During that time in 2012, was watching Boss, and was writing Power, creating Power, watching me do what I was doing, and said, damn, I gotta work with that kid. Who's that guy? Fast forward 2 years later, now the show gets canceled. Boom. My dad, this is a Nigerian father, yo.
Mm-hmm.
My dad was like, yo, the money you made for this show, I'm putting it away for you. You only got $30,000 to work with. If you say you a superstar, if you say you like that, you're gonna make this work and get the next thing.
Mm-hmm.
I said, dang, okay, cool. Buy a house, rent a house in Atlanta. 2013, 2014, rent me and four of my guys who were just all artists. We didn't have no sofa, no nothing. We had lawn chairs, no TV, just a studio. We put all our money into the studio,
mm-hmm.
creating records. 6 months go by, nobody making money. My agent called me. He's like, yo, there's a TV show called Power that's interested in you.
Mm-hmm.
But you got to fly yourself to L.A. You got to put yourself up. And you know, it's pilot season. So you don't know how long you're going to be out there. Pilot season is February where it's audition after audition after audition after this.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm like, I looked at my bank account, bro. I had like $1,500 left, bro. So I'm like, it's getting like crunch time. So I'm like, damn, I got to get a flight. I gotta put myself up. I don't know. It's like, all right, cool. All right. again, bet on yourselves, man. Bet on yourselves. It changed my life, obviously. So I was like, you know, let's do it. Put 700 at the time for a flight. Got 700 left. I find the cheapest motel on Hollywood Boulevard, East Hollywood Boulevard, that the guy was like, he was like, yo, it's usually 40 a night, bro. I said, bro, I'm a struggling artist, man. Can I give you 20? It'll double my days. I don't know. He said, I got you. It's okay. Let me stay. Second day I get out there, I do the audition. Kill it. But then 2-3 weeks go by. Mm. So now I'm waiting. You know this, bro. Mm-hmm. I'm waiting because I don't know what's going on. I got to stay there. So now it's $20, $40, $60. Da, 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 da. You got to get food. Luckily, you know, I was always a fly guy, so I had some girls, you know. So you know what I mean? You know what I mean? I
had they
had to come cook for your brother in the motel. You know what I'm saying? So you know what I mean?
So
I
was space heater. Hey,
bro.
What?
Nigga, I was on my, you know what I mean? Nigga, ramen noodle, all type of, it was I appreciate those times now, right. But it was craziness, bro. So I was able to stretch the money a little bit. I get the call. Then it's like, all right, you gotta go in for a table read. Now everybody's in there. Mm-hmm. I mean, not a test read. You got everybody's in there. And the person that I rarely tell this, but the person that it was down between me and Lakeith Stanfield, for Dre. So I'm like this. He's like this. I'm like, what's up, bro? Again, and I knew he was a dog then, like, because we both looked at each other like, all right, nigga, what's up, bro? Like, yeah, cool. And I felt the energy of like, I'm trying to get this, you trying to get this. So I was like, went in, murdered. I know, and you could tell when somebody got the gift, right? Mm-hmm. So I knew he was lit like that. So anyway, I was like, I got to go crazy. So went in, boom, 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 got the role. And at that particular time, I had $40 left, bro. $40 before I got the role for Power. Boom, go to fly to New York. And then Courtney tells me the story of like, you know, I watched you. So she was like, I took your audition tape and compared it to everyone else that was auditioning because what I saw you do on Boss, mm-hmm. the other show. Mm-hmm. So again, it's like to every creative out there, yo, honestly, please, every line, every scene, every opportunity, go hard. If you really believe in yourself, yo, you gotta bet that on the house, bro.
That like, sounds so familiar.
You
that
gotta
sounds
bet that,
exactly
bro.
How the Wildin' Out worked for us.
Do you
like,
see?
It's the exact same way.
Yeah.
Like, Nick came and did auditions in North Carolina. That wasn't a real audition. And he was like, you got to fly yourself to New York to audition. I'm like, bet. Flew myself to New York to audition.
Yeah.
Do the audition in New York. And I'm like, no money.
Yeah.
I just got laid off my job. No bread.
Yeah.
And they was like, you know that joke you made about having to fly yourself up? Yeah, we're going to need you to do that one more week. You got to come back for the main audition. So I went home.
Wow.
The first time I sold some clothes, because I've always been the fly guy.
See, brother. Yeah, I like the shoes, yeah.
But I sold some clothes at Plato's Closet to get the first plane ticket.
Yeah.
The second one, I went to my rental office lady and was like, look, man, I got an opportunity. If you can just let me be a little bit late, I promise you I'll pay you. Just, she was like, whatever you got going.
Yeah.
That's fine, baby. Do your thing.
Yeah.
We go up to the main or the group or like which one?
Yeah.
Table read.
Table
read.
Yeah.
And I never forget, this man said something to me when he came in and still resonates to this day, right before we go in the audition. It was a bunch of niggas. He was like, man, I don't know what these niggas great do, but we great get on TV, nigga.
I love that, bro.
Meant that shit.
That's hard. That's hard, bro.
Oh, yeah.
That nigga walked right up there because we knew each other, but we didn't go through the audition process together.
Yeah,
we had
different
auditions because he auditioned in Atlanta. I had to go to New York. That nigga walked straight. I seen him. I was like, what's up, nigga? He can't walk straight up to me and say, hey, nigga, I don't know what these niggas great do.
That's tough.
We great get on TV.
That's tough.
And then it was like, we did the audition, and like you said, that 3-week period went past.
You don't know.
This
nigga called and was like, you know, we ain't going to be able to bring you into work. Shop. I'm like, damn. He was like, welcome to the cast of Wildin' Out. I was
fuck. That's hard.
That January, I officially got laid off from my job. I think it was like January 11th when they sent me the letter.
Yeah.
That was that Friday. That Monday, I flew out to shoot Wildin' Out for the first time. I ain't looked back since.
That's what I'm saying. You know what I mean? Bet on yourself, bro.
Like, that's how, even with Fly, when Fly came in, Fly had already had, like, you know, a buzz on social media, but nobody knew what that nigga was going to do on TV.
Right.
But I remember that first time we was in that workshop, that nigga Fly was like, nigga got me fucked up, watch this.
Mm.
And niggas was like, oh, this nigga raw. For real.
Absolutely.
I like this nigga raw.
I couldn't go back to that block.
For real.
Like, on that, you got to also understand, that's why I appreciate Nick so much, because it's like, all right, he's in a position where he's in control on some, this who I want to get an opportunity to.
I love that. Yeah.
You see what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah.
And I remember, because, you know, I remember my audition, he was like, I see you, little nigga. I see you on Instagram.
Mm.
Well, I was like, Nick was probably the biggest nigga I ever seen in my life at that moment, but he don't even know that. This is a whole fast forward, because I was in Drumline in the fifth grade. I remember when they taught the nigga how to punch him.
Wow.
I was in the fight scene in the stand.
So you've been active?
I was just always in the mix.
That's
just
crazy.
Like, I was always
that's
in the renaissance.
That's crazy, bro.
My life went this way.
Yeah, yeah. That's
so
that's
when enough. I saw him, I was like,
that's God, bro.
I went right back to the fifth grade, and he was like, I see you, little nigga. I see your Instagram. Tough. Just do something. I did the best whatever that was.
That's dope.
And then once
bro.
It was just like you said, that waiting period, I was like, I ain't get no phone call.
What?
I'm just appreciative that I got the audition.
The opportunity,
and them niggas were like, while Najee called, they said, you going to, I was like, oh.
Oh, shit, right.
Nigga,
bro.
And then it's when like, the world
nigga,
get a glimpse of this.
This nigga wasn't even supposed to, this nigga didn't even have a real audition, nigga.
I didn't even have an audition slot.
Oh, for real?
That, yeah, it just showed up. I just stayed all day.
Yeah.
And then, like, most of the people that day had to audition for the producers. Mm. But you know how a motherfucker like Nick, he showed up for like an hour or
right.
two.
He don't be that long.
So I got the audition for Nick.
I got the audition
yeah.
for Nick. Nigga don't understand.
Man.
I didn't get the audition so for the, I got audition for Nick.
The crazy part is the shit
Nick
that he
just
did.
Wanted to see something. He just wanted to see you be a girl.
Yeah, the
wow.
shit
That's
that
all he wanted.
The shit that he did in North Carolina wasn't even a real audition. He was just doing that because he had a radio show
got
that
it.
He was promoting. And he was just doing a mock,
yeah,
just
yeah,
something
yeah.
to just promote the show coming back.
Right time.
So I went down there because salute to Dolly. Dolly worked with yeah. Nick at the time, and she was like, you know, just go and, you know, do that audition.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
the crazy part is I had already met him like 2 years prior
Thanks.
Doing his Fresh Faces a comedy show. I went up to Gotham and did a comedy show, and I was walking around in my creative process. I walk around, talk to myself, get my
yeah.
shit together. He stole me
yeah, yeah, yeah.
doing that outside. I go up Kill. When I came down, he was like, man, you just made that up outside. I seen you talking to yourself. I was like, yeah. He was like, man, I'm around some of the best in the game. They can't do what you just did. Keep working. When I walked into that audition, he was like, I remember you. You the nigga that's talking to yourself. I was like, yeah, nigga. So yeah. help me not talk to myself no more. Free.
Fuck
you mean? And that's how it started. And
right
my
there.
Man beat that audition. He ended up getting on the show later, but I didn't even get his vantage point until afterwards. He had went and didn't do well in the audition at all.
Yeah.
Literally, that's what I said as soon as I walked in the door. So he said from his vantage point, it was no laughter. As soon as he heard seeing me walk in and the door closed, the room erupted with laughter. He was like, oh, this nigga's out of here.
That's what I'm saying, bro.
So, but just that process, most people don't understand that it take that because they see you, to see us at this point and don't
bro.
Know that niggas was really fucked up
yes,
when we
bro.
Got on.
Yes.
We was fucked up the first couple years of
yes.
being on.
Yes.
Like, we had to,
it take 10 years.
To make that shit work, bro.
It take 10 years to
hey,
get
boy.
Your moment, bro.
Hey, boy.
Come on, bro.
Shit ain't start getting good, DRL. You understand me?
Come on.
Hey, boy. Now when I realized, I was like, I can finally get out my mama's house.
Yeah. Bad shit going on.
Man, bro, I'm talking about, I'm talking about going on the road, breaking down, what, 250, 300, nigga, a piece. But we was doing 5-6 shows in a week doing that. But just, I'm talking about colleges, everything.
Especially when you know where you're going and you know your destination.
Absolutely.
And you know, you understand that God is putting you in positions to win.
Yes.
You realize, oh, okay, all I gotta do is apply faith, apply energy, be
yes
go hard at my craft
yes
everything is gonna work out
absolutely.
Especially once that's all we pray for is just the ball to get a little roll
yep
yes
just a little
to keep going
just a little roll I just need a little roll and it ain't flat either it got a little pump
bro.
All of a sudden it got a little air in it now we're bouncing
AT&T connects an ode to podcasts connect the alarm change the podcast you stream connect the snooze 10 more minutes to dream.
Connect the shower. Lather up with the news. Sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work. In traffic, so slow.
Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio.
Connect the stories, change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
Oh, hi, I'm Rachel Zoe, and I'm back for another season of my podcast, Climbing in Heels. You might know me from the Rachel Zoe Project or perhaps from my work as a celebrity stylist. And guess what? I'm still just as fully obsessed with all things fashion, beauty, and business. My podcast, Climbing in Heels, is all about celebrating the stories of extraordinary women, and this season, we're taking things up a notch. I'll be talking to some incredible women across so many industries, from models and beauty industry stars to doctors, entrepreneurs, and TV personalities. Climbing in Heels is here to bring you a weekly dose of glamour, inspiration, and fun. Every week, listeners will be able to ask me any questions. I'm answering it all. My life is absolutely crazy with so much going on, and I'm so beyond excited to bring you along for the ride. Whether we're talking red carpet looks, current trends, or products I'm obsessed with, I'm here to be your fashion fairy godmother. Listen to Climbing in Heels every Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Across Generations, where the voices of Black women unite in powerful conversations. I'm your host, Tiffany Cross. I want you all to join me and be a part of sisterhood, friendship, wisdom, and laughter. In every episode, we gather a seasoned elder.
But even with a child, there's no such thing as the wrong thing if you love them.
Myself, as the middle generation, I don't feel like I have to get married at this big age in life, but it is a desire I have and something that I've navigated in dating. And a vibrant young soul for engaging intergenerational conversations.
I'm very jealous of your generation that didn't have to deal with Instagram and Tinder.
This is Across Generations, where Black women's voices unite, and together, you know how we do, we create magic. Listen to Across Generations podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Parents, if you've ever experienced bedtime battles with the kids, I'm going to let you into a little secret. I'm Abby, a mother of two, and I had these battles myself. Endless excuses, delay tactics, and many tears and tantrums. But I've created a solution. The perfect kids podcast that makes bedtime a dream. It's called Koala Moon, and it's hosted by me, Abby. With over 300 episodes, packed with original stories and sleep meditations, Koala Moon makes bedtimes easy and enjoyable. Episodes start out engaging and really rather magical, but as they progress, they gently slow to a calm and relaxing pace to have your little ones out like a light. Since launching in 2022, Koala Moon has helped with over 20 million nights sleep and received over 6,000 five-star reviews. Win back your evenings. Listen to Koala Moon now on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Parents, ready to discover a new educational and interactive podcast for kids? Join Stories for Kids by Lingo Kids, where episodes are packed with fun activities. Right, Elliot?
Oh, yes! We learned how to recycle at the beach.
That was great fun. Callie, what do you say?
It was! And that time when we did the science experiment and Billy made raisins dance.
That is so cool, Billy.
He did. Not to mention when a certain Elliot took up swimming classes with Lisa.
That was me.
Bet you can't catch me.
I'm going to get you.
All this fun and more in our Stories for Kids. Lingo Kids Stories for Kids is now available on StoryButton, the kid-friendly device for screenless podcast listening. Listen to Stories for Kids on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Piggyback off what y'all talking about, bro. Like, so when I got on Power Season 2,
right?
Dre was supposed to get killed off Season 3. He wasn't supposed to survive. He was not supposed to talk much. He wasn't supposed to, he was just supposed to be there and just be, you know, the goon nigga, the hood guy. You know what I mean? That energy. And when it got to the point where I was like, okay, I only got two lines. What could I do to make a moment? And I was like, okay, I got to do everything with my eyes. So when they started seeing, like, yeah, I answer something and I do something like, they'll be like, oh, we can, oh my God. And then they started realizing this is when Twitter was going crazy. So, oh, that Drake character up to something, because of just putting more than just what the words say and taking advantage of an opportunity to the point where they were like, oh my God, we gotta make you Ghost 2.0, da 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 da. And they had to redo my contract because it's like, yo, the moment is here. You roll the ball, I gotta take it and go crazy.
Well, when did you realize that being on Power, when did that success hit you as far as the people? Not necessarily the industry and all that, but when did you feel like, oh shit, like the people are resonating with this character?
I think it was season 3. Season 2, it was like, oh, you part of, okay, that's lit. Season 3 is when the conversation started being like, oh, he's about to be on a ghost's wing. And when people started seeing it and they started seeing the similarities and how I was acting and how I was stealing scenes in that moment, it was like, okay, wow, like, girls love it, niggas respect it, old people love it, da-da-da-da-da, white people love 50, so they're gonna watch it. So it was like, oh, wow, I'm outside. And I remember when I was around, this is like Trey Songz, I think it was, and everybody went crazy for him. And that's my dog, so it was like, seeing that everybody gave me the same reaction, it was like, oh, you really, and I didn't expect it. What? You know, that's my bro, so I'm just, we were in Vegas, we looked over the balcony, they went crazy for him. I'm like, oh, that's crazy, they're going crazy for my man. I looked over, they were doing the same thing, so I was like, oh, you really did it. Mm-hmm. And at that moment, I'll never forget, he was like, bro, congratulations, like, now turn it up even more.
You gotta go up.
And you know, that was the drive.
Yeah, it's always, I always like to ask those moments, because those are the, to me, those are the surreal moments.
Absolutely.
That when the people react to you. I'll never forget, I know one for me was when we went to that All-Star game, that celebrity All-Star game, and me and this nigga was just walking down Times Square.
We planned that. Yeah. That shit crazy. Like, we thought they gave us the wrong shit on accident.
That's crazy.
Like, they gave us some good-ass seats. Yeah, like, we had two of the best seats at the shit.
That's hard, bro.
Everybody got to walk by us.
Yeah.
So we just sitting there like, man, this is fucking crazy. They must don't know we...
Yeah, nigga. Bro.
This nigga say at the he like, fuck it, nigga, let's walk on the court.
I love that.
So we walk on the court.
What they gonna do, kick us out?
Nah, yeah, you did. You earned that.
We see Dave Chappelle, so we like, man, we ready to go say what's up today. Say what's up today.
Yeah,
as soon as we get up on that, nigga, he was like, Carlos Chico, man, what's happening, man? How y'all doing? We was like, nigga, you know us?
Wow, that's a great moment.
Then we leave. When we leave, we walking down the street. I don't even know if you remember. Remember we was walking down the street, nigga, we turned around.
Yeah.
It was, I'm talking about, 3 blocks down of people following us down the street.
Amazing,
bro.
Amazing.
And we like, man, what the
bro,
fuck?
Bro, it could go 2 ways for artists or
like,
entertainers at that moment.
Bro? Like,
it could go to your
this?
Head and be like, oh, I'm lit. Like, oh we
that
good.
That shit blew my mind.
Like, you know what I mean? It's time to go crazy. Or it could drive you.
Right.
And this is where a lot of us fail.
That fame shit don't work no more.
No, it don't. No, it don't.
No.
It don't.
It's longevity.
It don't. It's longevity. Yeah,
another nigga who they gonna pay less money.
Right.
Get your shit together.
Yeah. Exactly.
I tell you what, the moments for you that was funny as fuck. You probably don't remember this when you first came. When I say probably, it's probably about your second or third season. You was all the way settled into the process. And I guess when you and Emmanuel was the famous person, you would go and be like, hey, y'all, they go Emmanuel.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
Man, that nigga did that shit to you. We was on tour, that first tour.
Boy,
you
were
like, hey, y'all, you see your body? They were like, oh, shit. He was like, yeah, got your ass. Oh, your turn.
I mean, I didn't care about being popular, and fame is different.
Yeah,
I'm used to being popular.
Facts.
But fame come with the annoying shit.
Absolutely.
So when I used to see Emmanuel get annoyed, I used to find that shit so funny. So we'll be around, so your folks be like, DC, what's up, nigga? But that's it.
Yeah.
That's all I'm gonna get. DC, what's up? I get a picture too. DC, what's up? Yeah. That nigga Emmanuel get me, he tried to get into the car. I'm like, we got Emmanuel Hudson, everybody. Here, look at me. And I just get out the crowd. It's 40, 50 people around that nigga. He's just looking at me like, I hate you.
Right.
That nigga, boy, about a year and a half.
Boy, that nigga got that nigga so vicious, man.
That motherfucker said, DC, I'll fly everybody. And they be like, That nigga looked at me like, I got your ass.
It's a good feeling, bro.
I said, I feel you, bro.
It's a good moment.
Fucked up. I used to do that.
It's a good
moment. Now, what was that feeling like to be a superstar in 2 lanes, though? You got the movie shit, TV show jumping off.
Yeah.
Then you got the music shit doing crazy numbers.
Doing
like,
numbers,
how were you able to just, like, balance both of them at the same time, jumping like
honestly, bro, it was, I mean, it's going to sound cliche, but, like, it was a lot of sacrifice, bro. Like, I couldn't party like most people was. I couldn't really enjoy being out, wilding, flying this and doing that. Nah, it was like I had a responsibility. Mm-hmm. You know, I felt like I had a whole country, a whole continent on my back. that I got to represent properly. And then it was just like, I've always been able to multitask. Mm-hmm. So I love, it didn't feel like work to me for a while. Like being lit and acting and being, it just pushed me, bro. Like the most amazing feeling was when we had gotten the ratings and it said, Power is now the number one TV show on cable, on
pop
TV.
Shit,
yeah.
Pop your shit,
but then I also had the number one R&B album at the same time.
I see that.
You know what I'm saying?
Come on, man. How you do that, man?
So
crazy.
So for me, it was just like, man, God, just give me discernment.
Yes, sir.
Give me wisdom.
Yes, sir.
Surround me around the right people. Put me around the right team. Even, you know, I finally feel like I got the right team. And shout out to my brother Punch. Mm-hmm. But it's like,
Punch,
you know, yeah, that's my dog. You know, so like, it felt like you gotta want it, and you gotta have a team that want it more than you.
They gotta do it while you
not more than
you,
exactly.
They definitely gotta want it more than you. They gotta
in a
want,
way, yeah.
They know how great you are.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like when you have that team that understand your greatness and understand where your strength can be displayed.
Absolutely.
And they like, I got somebody that could beat.
Absolutely.
We're too busy saying, look, you need to go talk to them. Why should I be telling you to go talk to them?
Bro.
You should already know the importance of talking to them.
Bro, like, the best thing we can do as creatives is know that we're brilliant in what we do, right?
Right.
But we have to surround ourselves, and me and Punch talk about all the time, you have to surround yourself with experts that are great at what they do and allow them to do what they do to maximize the ability of where y'all gonna go.
Right.
If I'm doing this, I want this, first of all, that means you don't trust your team.
Right.
Then you're taking away from what you really gotta do.
Right.
Then it, so you put-
It's energy consuming.
It's energy consuming, so right. You can't succeed if your team ain't right because you got to force to do everything. At one point, I was a booking agent. This isn't it. You know what I'm saying? And like, that's when I felt the most pressure. I almost got depressed. I almost hated music. I almost hated entertainment because I had to wear so many hats. But it was like, hold on. Let's put ourselves in. Let me put my people in position
and
trust them to do it. And then you start seeing the money come in, start seeing the roles, start seeing the music hitting everything and the tour and all that. Because it's just also surrendering to the process.
What do you look for? What did you look for in those people? Being as though you wore those hats, like you had that responsibility, it creates a level of understanding from each position.
Yeah.
So what did you look for in those people when you put them in place? What were some of the qualities you looked for?
You gotta be a dog. You gotta be tenacious. You can't take no for an answer.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? You gotta look at me and if I'm up at four, you up at four.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? So that mindset. Then you have to be able to really prove and show that you are really good at what you do. You have to breed results, you know what I'm saying? Then also, I love it when someone isn't... Yeah, for real, you got to, bro. So, and then also somebody who's not fazed by fame. Because if you put somebody who's not around it and they start losing their mind because they become the artist. I've seen that happen 6 times with people I work with.
Exactly. Not the
artist, they want to do all the other things, but then it's like when they know that this is a job, we got a mission, we got a point to prove, we got a this and this, then that changes everything. You know what I'm saying? And then also spiritually, they got to respect where I'm coming from, and then, you know, I respect where they're coming from. And you know, and don't put me in harm's way. I don't put them in harm's way.
Well, that fame is a drug. Like when you said that, though, it's a lot of people who still like they ain't all the way in it, but they will. Ain't nobody
looking.
Why you think? I'm gonna tell you what. Why you think clout shit?
Yeah.
Getting viral.
Yes,
they love motherfuckers like they like any attention and good attention.
Anything. No, it's not.
It is to me. All it is to me is just make people who don't know you act like they know you forever, and people who know you forever act like they don't know you at all.
Yes,
that's all fame. Does.
Yes.
It's just people who don't know you or run up on you and act like you've been in their family forever. And people who've been in your family and known you your whole life or treat you like a stranger.
That means people who chase clout have lack of love.
Yeah, they looking for validation from the validation that they think
like
they
like,
see.
You think I'm right?
Yeah.
They think I'm right.
Right. And they don't even understand the importance of being able to have people around you when fame comes that can tell you you're wrong.
Yes, honesty. I forgot to say honesty, bro.
You know what I mean? You got to be, I don't want nobody around me who can't tell me, nigga, stop.
Stop.
That ain't it.
You look crazy.
We done all looked at each other when we done said some shit and be like,
nah, that ain't it.
Like, look,
because some people are scared to hold people accountable because they're afraid that that's going to be, I can't say nothing because that nigga going,
absolutely.
Oh, I'm going to lose my, I can't have nobody around because I can become a danger to myself in that regard. Because when things start working and working and working, you can think that every idea you have is the right idea or everything that you want to do is the right way to do it.
Yeah.
And it takes that vantage point for somebody to be like, that's why I love the black woman so much at because they understand us to where they can step in and be like, hey, nigga.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Don't do that.
Yes, absolutely.
That ain't the thing to do.
Absolutely.
They don't even have to say it.
Yeah.
It's a look that black women get you like, I ain't saying don't do what you're doing.
Yeah.
But I know you and you wouldn't do what you're doing.
Or you'll fuck around and be blunt and be like, you really about to do that?
That's even worse. Nah, I wasn't about to do that. I wasn't about to do shit.
I was about to say.
I'm mad that you thought I was going to do that.
Right, exactly. It'll snap you out of
it.
I want to see what you're going to do.
Yeah, exactly.
But like, testing your feet.
Bro, it's so true. Like, even on the way here, like, Punch was just, we were just talking, just driving up, and he reminded me of something like, and no one else would tell me straight up, like, bro, don't do this.
Right.
Make sure you don't do that. Mind this thing that you think you like that. And it's like, wow, if I make this whatever mistake or whatever situation or whatever, I'm at fault and it affects everybody.
Mm-hmm.
So the fact that like it's this mindset of my brother, do right, do this, let's think of it this way, let's think of it this way. You need that in all capacity to succeed, yo. Facts.
So what does Rotimi want?
Mm.
Because I'm hearing the journey.
Right, bro.
I'm hearing the journey. Did your music always, you was always in music, or did your music and your acting start around like the same time?
No, so music started when I was, okay. So my mom is a prayer warrior.
Okay.
So when I was in her womb, she had a dream and Bob Marley came to her and said, your son is gonna finish my legacy. So a lot of people don't know.
God damn, mama.
That's
pressure to put on a nigga as a young nigga.
What?
Yeah. Don't let Bob Marley down.
So if you know any Nigerian friend, you're part of the Nigerians, so their parents, our parents are like, you have to be a doctor, lawyer, engineer, pediatrician, librarian, that's it. So when I came out singing, my mom was like, I remember this dream. I have to nurture this gift.
Oh, man.
So at 3 years old, 4 years old, my mom had me as a Nigerian wedding singer. So I was going from Houston, Connecticut, Philadelphia.
You are together.
Yeah, I'm like, Jesus.
You are together.
Hallelujah.
Can you imagine you go to a Nigerian wedding and a four-year-old come out? Yeah. I want to thank everybody for coming.
Literally.
In a
three-piece. Yeah, I'm going to send y'all the picture.
Thank you, man. Hallelujah.
literally, bro. So,
fire.
Bro, but at Nigerian weddings, they throw money. They throw bread, at, you know, so.
So you get throw money?
I'm getting what?
Oh, man.
So I'm four. So I'm getting like literally maybe 5-6 thousand because of as many, because it's a spectacle. It's like, it's a four-year-old singing. So
my daughter, come on, man.
I'm in there.
Nigerian wedding singer, let's do it.
So when I'm realizing that stick with you.
You're right.
Like my gift is breeding money at this particular time and it sticks with my parents. They're like, oh, we have something. So they nurtured it. Until, you know, I'm from Jersey. So the Apollo Theater is big in New York for us, you know what I mean? So for everybody. Yeah, for everybody. So I performed at the Apollo Theater when I was 14 and I won. Came back the next week, I won. So then Jay-Z's nephews moved into town when I was 15. And they rap and they were doing music. So they were like, yo, like, I hear that you the singer around here, like you wanna join our group. But if you really want to do this, we got to be serious because our uncle, the pressure is on us to be better than our uncle at the time.
Mm-hmm.
So Hov was like, listen, if y'all really want to make music, y'all got to come down to my condo. At 15. So I had to go. He was like, come down to the condo and write all your music, perform all of it in front of me. Let me critique everything because I got to see personally what's going on. So about 6-7 months, every 3 weeks, we were taking a bus, taking a car to go to Jay-Z crib, perform in his living room, and he was like, yo, Ro, that was good, nah, but your voice is a little too strong here, blah, 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 blah. So I'm getting critiqued by one of the greatest at 15. That's and he's crazy. Telling you, yo, like, you got it, bro. Please understand, you have it. I said, okay. So that propelled me At that point, like.
What about a nephew? You need to tell them shit.
Yeah, you told him. He told him.
Hey, give him a bag, man. Bro, you keep thinking. Get this goddamn luggage, man.
Man, shout out to Spanky Romello then. But like, they put me on that situation and it changed my perspective as a creative, bro.
Right.
And at 15, you impressionable.
Hell yeah.
So you got Jay-Z saying you like that.
That's enough drive.
It's enough drive to last you for your lifetime as a person. So right. that drive, and I got to college and I was just making music and selling my mixtapes while I was on campus, skipping class, standing at the corner.
It was
selling
my
mixtapes.
Regular music. Oh, it was a regular trying to get on
since I was four.
Yeah, but then you say you also had a song to go big over there in your country.
Yes.
You're right.
So I had a record called Beautiful Music that I recorded in my dorm in college. And when I graduated, we just put it out, and this is when MySpace, so you add in top five, you add in everybody to your music page at this time. And I used to do that for 8 hours a day, 8 hours a day, 8 hours a day for the whole summer. Damn. And I started realizing, like, fans, building fan bases all around the world. And I'll say that I was Nigerian. So one of the top, his name was Tito, something like that, T-something. He found the music on MySpace, and the song Beautiful Music kind of just took off over there. And they were coming down to America like 4 months later. And that's when, you know. So, again, you just got to put the work in and invest in yourself, man. Keep on going.
So what's next, man? You know, I mean, I personally, you know, hate that question just because, you know, the fact that you don't know when you got that type of history. Like, if a nigga would have asked you what's next when you left Jay-Z.
Absolutely.
Like, what's next? Nigga, platinum, nigga.
Yeah.
You talking about?
I got to get this ass scoop, though.
What is that nigga? Platinum, nigga. I just left Jay-Z living room, man. I'm going to fuck what a nigga talking about.
Yeah, you're not lying, though.
Yeah, I mean, for real.
Where is the Power franchise headed?
Where is it headed?
What can the fans expect from that?
Oh, bro, I ain't been a part of Power for 6 years, bro. So I don't even know anything. Yeah, bro, I don't know nothing was going on, honestly. Damn. I mean, I thank Five for changing my life, but it's a job. You know, it was my job. It wasn't, you know, I did my job and I move on. You know what I'm saying?
You can be gone and then you show back up and you die.
Oh, no, they burned my character ass, bro.
Nigga, they done brought motherfuckers back to life.
I'll be a ghost?
Yeah, you won't be Butterstock no more. You'll be
You can't do this, baby.
They'll go back in time and see, like, your leg move.
Yeah.
And you're like, oh, that nigga
needs
that.
Before I ask wrong questions, what's next, nigga? You got a skincare line. We ain't talking about.
Yeah. Speaking of being burnt up.
You got a skincare line.
Thank you, bro.
Made you want to do a skincare line?
It's for you.
So,
it's already used it though. But you can use it.
That's some African shit.
You can use the rest of it. You can use the rest.
Make sure it was good for you. To make sure it was good. Look at my skin. Look at your skin. Look at you. I had to make sure it was good for you.
So basically what happened...
There's some good lotion.
So it's called Favor Skin, right?
Let me get some of that.
What happened was during the pandemic... Thank you, bro. Yeah. It's minerals from the Dead Sea, 100% natural. So what happened was 2021, it was COVID, and I started breaking out because I was stressing and I was just going crazy and I was using bad stuff on my face. And I was like, I got a call again, divine timing, God. Andy Hilfiger calls me. From the Hilfiger, Tommy Hilfiger brand and all that, called me and it's like, yo, bro, I see your butterscotch videos. What do you put on your face? What's going on with your, like, what is that? What is that? I said, oh, I just used this other brand. He was like, yo, what, are you gonna, have you thought about endorsing something? I said, bro, if I'm gonna get into skincare, I wanna own my own skincare. And he was like, okay, cool, dude, let's do it, man. You want to go 50-50? I said, yeah. He was like, yeah. I have a company in Israel. They have this stuff from the Dead Sea, and the Dead Sea is like a healing.
Got minerals in
the balls. Yeah, the mineral.
Please, my friend, please.
Yes.
Yeah. Please. Don't break my heart. Please.
Please.
Put this on your skin. Please. Let me show you something.
So the Dead Sea, so if people don't know, it's in Israel. And it heals like skin cancer. It heals like psoriasis. It heals eczema. So I was like, yo, honestly, man, I want to make something that black brothers and sisters can use on their skin without any preservative, and it's all natural, and it's a healing place, healing thing from the source. Mm-hmm. And Israel is the holy land, you know what I mean? Like, it started there. So for me, it was like, I want something that will change people's lives, so I called it Favor. Because it's like, when I started realizing that it was changing my life and doing what it's doing to my face, I could change people's lives. Because a lot of people's insecurities come from their skin. A lot of people's insecurities come from a lot of outer stuff. So I was like, let me be a part of that healing process. We created it. So it's about to be in Target. We about to do a meeting with HSN.
Man,
it's smelling
good.
And the testimony. Bro, I got you. But like, yeah, favorite skin in it, like, when I put my finger and my hand into the Dead Sea, I saw, like, the dirt come off. It naturally exfoliated everything, and it was a natural glow. So, you know, we're the only ones that got minerals from the Dead Sea in the States. You know, so I think it's changing. And then the testimonials that we've had, like, we've had about 4,000 or 5,000 testimonials of people using it so far. Mm-hmm. And it's like, you've changed my life. You helped me, man. Like, they show me before and after pictures, our whole team, so... It's just been a blessing, man. So if you want to get it, it's favorite skin from both men and women.
Well, we got you some 85 yeah. South Show gear.
Oh, thank you, bro. My brother.
We took your skin care.
We're going to do a promo code 85 South on as well. 85
Favor.
Yeah. 85
Favor.
85
Favors.
I like that.
We do Favor.
Thank you, bro. Thank you, bro.
Y'all make sure y'all go get anything Rotimi put out.
Sir.
Got new singles dropping. Yeah. Got
yes,
new faces. Skin.
Oh, yeah. He also got a track, too, so y'all let it know.
YouTube. We got a record out, man, that's going crazy. And also, I got a double album that's coming out in July.
We got
a double album coming out in July. It's called... not yet, but it's half Afrobeat, half R&B. Okay. So all my fans get 7 records of R&B, 7 records of Afro.
Talk to you,
and it's going to be that.
You know, this your first time stopping through here.
Yeah, brother.
Don't let it be the last.
I'm here. This is y'all my family, bro.
Yeah, man,
that's
what
I'm saying. Yeah, bro. My family, bro.
You know, man. We definitely got to get you to sign
Thank
the table,
you,
man.
Yeah,
man.
Yeah,
man.
Bro.
Yeah,
bro.
Sign it,
bro.
Let's get a flick, man.
Let's get it.
Oh, hi, I'm Rachel Zoe, and my podcast Climbing in Heels is back and better than ever. You might know me from the Rachel Zoe Project, or perhaps from my work as a celebrity stylist. And guess what? I'm still just as obsessed with all things fashion, beauty, and business. Climbing in Heels is all about celebrating the stories of extraordinary women, and this season is here to bring you a weekly dose of glamour, inspiration, and fun. Listen to Climbing in Heels every Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, everybody, welcome to Across Generations, where the voices of Black women unite. I'm your host, Tiffany Cross.
Tiffany Cross.
Join me and be a part of sisterhood, friendship, wisdom, and laughter. We gather a seasoned elder, myself as the middle generation, and a vibrant young soul for engaging intergenerational conversations. Prepare to engage or hear perspectives that literally no one else has had. Listen to Across Generations podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Parents, if you've ever experienced bedtime battles with the kids, I'm going to let you into a little secret. The Koala Moon podcast has revolutionized over 20 million bedtimes, with parents like you calling it life-changing and the perfect nighttime routine. With original kids' bedtime stories and cozy sleep meditations, every episode has been specially designed to make bedtimes a dream. Listen to Koala Moon on the iHeartRadio app, on Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Discover a new educational and interactive podcast, Stories for Kids by Lingo Kids. Our episodes are packed with fun activities. Right, Elliot?
Oh, yes!
We went shape hunting around the block, and we found spheres and cubes on the street.
That was great fun. Join Stories for Kids, the Lingo Kids podcast, inspiring you to learn while having fun. Listen to Stories for Kids on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Season 9 of Next Question with me, Katie Couric. I've got some big news to share with you in our season premiere featuring the one and only Kris Jenner.
Oh my gosh, congratulations. That is very, very exciting.
And that's just the beginning. We'll also be joined by podcast host Jay Shetty, Hillary Clinton, Renee Fleming, Liz Cheney, and many more. So come on in, take a break from the incessant negativity for a weekly dose of fascinating conversations. Some of them, I promise, will actually put you in a good mood. Listen to Next Question with me, Katie Couric, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.